Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
As I promised, we have a very, very interesting guest who is, and it's so fascinating because when we speak to people who are connected to somebody who is very, very well known, we assume that we know them, but we don't. And that's what I want to take a moment and understand who Errol Musk is. We know he's an engineer. We know he's an entrepreneur, a commentator, and we know he's somebody who is very rarely afraid of saying exactly what he thinks. He's lived through some of the most significant political, technological, and social changes in South Africa and indeed, of course, in the world. And as I mentioned earlier, he is the father of Elon Musk, arguably one of the most influential business people in the world today. At a time where so much is shifting and so much is at play, we wanted to chat to Errol Musk, who is somebody who certainly sees the world from a unique perspective. Errol Musk, a very good morning and thank you for joining us. I hope you're well.
Fine, thank you very much. Thanks for asking me.
So, first of all, thank you for being here. I just wanted to kick off and really start the conversation by looking at some of the issues around. You grew up in a South Africa that was a very different country. When you look today at where we are, what we've achieved. What worries you the most about the country?
Well, it's a big question. I mean, at the moment, we are at the best place we've ever been when it comes to race relations. I don't see racism or any kind of nastiness or anything of that kind anymore. I certainly look out for it, and I never see anything like that. People mix freely, and that's very nice to see. And very enjoyable. As far as the country itself is concerned, I think the whole country is aware of the fact that the government in power, the people in power have plundered the country to a large extent. And they have, sort of pillaged the coffers of the country. I think we're aware of that. Everybody's aware of that. With the result that there are many departments of the government that don't function properly. You know, I think of Home Affairs, where people are waiting years for an ID book or years for a birth certificate. A 1 year, I was told it would take for me to get an unabridged birth certificate of my daughter. This is no good. And, you can't put people into positions simply because they're black or something. You have to put people into positions because they know what they're doing. And this is a modern country, or it used to be, and we are moving backwards. There's no doubt about that in terms of the kind of operation you need in a modern country. We are doing things like BEE, which is a halter, a halter on business. It's like putting a halter, like putting a muzzle on business development. Nobody's going to start a factory if they have to give away 30% of the factory to somebody else. And then you come to the things that I read on the news, like Business Network and so on, where they talk about 100 families have benefited from BEE, so that approximately 10 million rands has gone to each member of 100 families, totaling 100 trillion rands, in fact. I read that earlier this year from, I think, Business News or something to that effect, which sounded fair and sounded right to me. The ordinary people haven't benefited. While I go on, the other thing is also from the same sort of channel, we have like 27, according to them, 27 million people from Northern Africa, from the north of South Africa, walking about in the country, looking for jobs. This is unsustainable. Nobody can do that. No country can do that.
So in terms of
my overall thoughts.
Yes. So, which is interesting because I think it captures what many people are feeling, which is that, and many people think, is that South Africa is filled with the most incredible people. As you say, racism, as we understood it, as you understood it, saw it growing up, isn't a feature of everyday life. South Africans generally all want the same thing, which is security, jobs, a strong economy, education for their kids, and healthcare. I mean, that's got no race. That is really all about what South Africans want. And somebody like yourself, who looks at the before and the after, can see that, and I appreciate you noting that, because I think sometimes we forget that aspect of it. But on the other hand, the corruption in government is something that is totally destructive. Do you think South Africans are ready to vote and look differently at their future, or are we still too young a democracy to have the courage to make braver decisions?
Well, that's a difficult question. I mean, as you say, the people are good, and one of the things that I know from my background and experience, black people and white people work very well together. They form a very good team. And, get things done very quickly. I remember when we put up the entertainment center at Sun City. Today, I don't know how long they would take, but they gave us 10 months. We did it in 8 months. And people work together. And today, that sort of thing's not happening. I don't think it's happening the same way. And I think, as you say, people they want to have jobs. They want to have their children at school. That's all very difficult when you've got, half your population almost are foreigners who've walked into the country looking for the same thing. Mm. And, as the same business channel that I mentioned earlier said in February this year, that there are only 7 million people in the country that pay income tax out of 63 or something, 63 million, which is weird, sort of weird. And, we can't do that. We simply can't provide those. It can't be done. The situation as it is at the moment is really, I wouldn't call it unsustainable. It's a long time unsustainable. It cannot, I see it getting worse, and everybody realizes it's getting worse. I was speaking to a mother yesterday who was telling me she's waiting 9 years for a birth certificate or an ID or something.
No, it's insane. It's
9 years. My own family, we're trying to get we've been trying for 3 years to get a birth certificate that was incorrectly issued. The child was labeled a male instead of female. We're trying to get it fixed for 3 years. It's crazy. And when I've been needed to get my passport recently, I travel a great deal. And I travel every month to a different country. And where I'm asked to speak about things, quite frankly. And my next trip is a BRICS Congress in Singapore in 2 weeks' time. And then 2 weeks after that in the Maldives and so on. And I've just come back from Russia. But to get my passport recently, I was told that I must go to the Home Affairs and I must sleep on the tarmac overnight on the ground and with the others in a queue, in a line, and I must take a sleeping bag and I must sleep the night through to try and get in the next morning. And I said, well, and the place is filthy, dirty, with rubbish everywhere, and this is crazy.
Absurd.
I hired someone to stand in the queue for me overnight. For 400 rands, I hired a man who offered to do that. And then he told me that if they find him, they will call the police the next morning, and he will be taken in by the police, if there are any police, anyway.
Yeah.
And so I have to be there at 6:30 in the morning, because by 7:30 they'll come for him if I'm not in the queue. So I got to at 6:30, and I never reached the counter. So eventually I left, and then I was due to go to Dubai to meet with the Sheikh of Dubai.
Yeah.
And the foreign minister of Dubai, of UAE, I mean, what, United Arab Emirates, phoned our Home Affairs minister and said to him that they are waiting for me. I'm traveling to Dubai. As it happened, I don't like to do this, but they put me on a first class ticket, and I'm going to Dubai to meet seven of the sheikhs, and I'm due to leave the next day, and I don't have a passport. So my passport was delivered by vehicle from Pretoria overnight.
But that's exactly right. Is to have to rely on that sort of a privilege is bizarre and completely unacceptable. And what's more, it showcases South Africa in a terrible light. I want to move on to ask you about Elon Musk, your son, what it was like being a father of a kid who would land up being certainly the richest guy, the wealthiest guy in the world, but a guy that changed so many aspects of the way in which we view the world. Looking at him as a teenager, did you ever think that this kid thinks differently enough to change the world?
Well, you know, I didn't think of it like change the world. But I knew, you know, we're a sort of academic family.
Mm.
And, you know, my brother's two sons are the highest matriculant graduates the country's ever had, with 12 distinctions. Don't ask me how you do that. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, and, certainly. But not in my lifetime.
Very forward-thinking and technically. But they were like the rest of the boys. They weren't really alone. All their friends were sort of in the same category. They were all much and much the same. And the difference I made was I sent them to the United States in the 80s,
right?
In the late 80s. And that made an enormous difference to them. They came with the drive that comes with the average South African. And they went to America, where people were spoiled, you know, more or less, and they found it very easy, you know, to be in the United States among Americans, who are sort of focused on it on in very, very narrow fields, whereas South Africans seem to be able to think laterally, and you know, they're able to sort of do everybody's job, and I think that had a lot to do with it. Elon also was very good at computers, so I bought him the first PC that came out in 1982, which is like prehistoric times now.
Yeah, and Commodore 64 or something like that, probably.
$7,800.
Wow.
1982, actually.
Wow.
And it was not XTA, IBM XTA, the first PC the world ever produced, with a mouse. And I bought that for $7,800, which is a little bit less. I think a new Mercedes 220 was $9,000. So.
Wow.
9,000 rand. So I paid 7,800 rand. The rand and the dollar were the same at the time.
Mm.
And he was able to learn to code or program at a very early age. I think that had a lot to do with it. And the fact that we're not people who tend to sit back and relax, you know. I'm 80, I'm still working. I'm still doing a daily job. I'm still doing everything. And they don't talk about retiring even at their age. A lot of people would have retired long ago, or whatever you call retiring.
Mm,
trouble is, there's nothing to do when you retire.
Yeah, I could think of nothing worse there. Either.
So
yeah,
you really thrive on having something to worry about.
So do you think it is intelligence, curiosity, obsession, determination, damage? What do you think it is that drives a person?
Words, obsession and determination.
Mm.
Obsession and determination, have a lot to do with it. As I say, you know, many of the boys have done well.
Yes.
It's somewhat unfortunate that a lot of the boys that of Elon and Kimball's age left the country, you know.
It is a pity.
And they went to live in the UK a lot, and then also a lot in America and in Australia and so on, where they have done well. There's been this thing to try and equalize the country, and in some ways it's made, as I was saying earlier, it's made people think twice about having their career in South Africa. People still talk about young people, I've got to get out, I've got to get out. Well, certainly young white people talk about, I've got to go, I've got to get out, I've got to get out. And it's no good pretending that that isn't the case. That is still the case. And, the government that we have provides very little encouragement to people. In fact, quite the opposite. The government we have, I'm aware, is a sort of clique of people. And, looking to their own interests,
yes.
Something to that effect. And, we don't have anything good to look at them about.
Well, yeah.
We have a president who stuffs, he's sober. It's all very wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because when we look at what Elon has done in terms of innovation, and then we look at, in a way, how, I wouldn't say he's been demonized, but the skepticism with which the South African government talks about and approaches Starlink and almost creates this narrative about him. That's incredibly sad. For you as a parent, that must be enormously frustrating.
Well, Elon is a very straightforward person.
Mm.
If you're in the art world like yourself,
mm.
Which is like broadcasting, a bit of art, you'd find Elon kind of boring, You'd probably have sitting over a cool drink, you'd probably wind up saying four things, for half an hour. He's not a terribly... Galatious, or whatever the right word is, garrulous. He's not a terribly garrulous type of person. Like, it's very ordinary in that respect. He looks at technically how you can do something and see if he can do it, And so my younger son is more good with people, but the problem is, like Starlink, Elon produced Starlink for the world.
Yes,
it is just had the biggest IPO in the history of nearly $2 trillion, and we are telling him he can't bring it here, not because of any other reason than we know that there are cliques in Johannesburg that are invested heavily in MTN and Vodacom and so on. So it's nothing to do with anything else, but to try and just keep their little pie going, their little fire going. And it's terrible because it really will lead to more and more people leaving the country and eventually South Africa going back to what it was, 100, 150 years ago, 100 years ago, where people just live a sustainable life on a piece of land somewhere, growing their own vegetables or something. It will eventually go to that, I imagine. Because you have to have a very forward-thinking government,
and that's where the conflict is. Does in terms of what you're seeing and your interaction, does it bother him that the country that he built, that he grew up in, doesn't see him in the way in which others do?
Are you talking about the past?
No, I'm talking about the fact
I'm not sure what your question is.
So my question is that Elon is probably, not probably, he's arguably the world's most successful business person, certainly in our generation. And yet somehow the South African government and a bit of our social media, which is, appalling, we know that, doesn't recognize him for the value that is contributed to the world and the value that he can contribute to South Africa through things like Starlink. And I wondered how much that bothers you as a parent and bothers him.
Well, you know, that is a thing about South Africa that is a little bit different to the rest of the world. If I go overseas for some years now, I'm given first-class treatment. I'm greeted everywhere. I've been invited by the president of one of the several of the countries, including countries around us, to come and visit them. But in South Africa, I'm not known. I'm not even known anywhere. Hardly anyone ever greets me or anything in South Africa. It's kind of peculiar, really.
It is peculiar.
And as you say, I think there's a problem in South Africa that people hate to give credit to anybody else. Something like that. I think it goes back not only among all the people. It goes back to when Jan Smuts was a general in the Boer War, and I remember him reading him saying that it's terrible being a general in the Boer army because everybody in the army thinks they are better than me, as they would make a better general than me. And so whatever I do, I'm told I'm no good. So everybody thinks they would make a better general than me. And when I offer to resign, they don't accept it, but at the same time, they all argue with me every time I suggest anything. So it's a sort of South African thing,
way.
You know? I've put the president of this country in touch with Elon by telephone, but I've never actually spoken to Cyril Ramaphosa. I have spoken to his PA, who came to visit me, in fact, on one occasion from Johannesburg, to ask me whether Elon would not invest in South Africa. Well, Elon will not invest in South Africa, that's for sure. Not at all. And when it comes to giving away under the present circumstances, and so the same thing applies to everybody else. Why would you invest in something when you have to give 30% of it away immediately? Yeah. You can't make ends meet the moment you start. And Elon just will never do that. He was asked to give them $100 million for Starlink early last year, and he refused. He said, "I'm not giving you $100 million to so that I can provide Starlink to South Africa. That's out of the question." Elon's main concern was to try and provide Starlink to rural areas at no cost. In other words, a sort of subsidized or somehow provide rural areas
which is worth way more than your 30%, because that's bringing access to data and information to people who need it most. But unfortunately, you can't.
We worked out a plan to do it, we worked out a plan to do it, and was just laughed at.
Absolutely absurd. We do need to, unfortunately, leave it there. Errol Musk, well, you are now known to us and to our listeners, and it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you. I hope it's the first of many conversations that we have, and I wish you luck on all of your traveling and all of your journeys, and keep doing what you do. It is absolutely fantastic to have spoken to you.